This morning, my sermon is not specifically in regard to Veterans Day, but I think if you listen to me, I have some things that I want to say. My sermon will not be rousing, loud, bombastic. I don't think that will be the case, but I think it will be helpful. I have to tell you, folks, I'm 55 years of age. There are many of you that have many years on me, but the pride in our country is at an all-time low, if you ask me. I remember when it was never negotiated whether you would stand when the Pledge of Allegiance was spoken. I remember when we heard the national anthem, you stood with pride and with dignity. And I'm not talking about an arrogant pride. Oh my, the deterioration of people's pride in what I think is still the finest country in the world, the old United States of America. I still believe in America. I still believe in that red, white, and blue flag. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. People say, but America's a mess. I realize that, but it's our mess. It's our country. And I think we ought not throw in the towel. I think we ought not give up. I think we ought to still believe in America. And we ought to do what we can to get America back to her roots and back to those beliefs and back to those convictions and back to those things that made America great. America doesn't feel good about herself anymore. And I think there's a reason why. I think the American people don't feel good about themselves either. I'm going to read to you a passage of Scripture, and you, if you'd like to turn to it, I would certainly appreciate your doing so. Psalm chapter 139. If you have your cell phone on, make sure that it doesn't go off during our service. Put it on vibrate or turn it off. And if you have an emergency and you need to step out, that's fine. But let's make it an emergency. And then when you come back in, sit in the back. That way we don't interrupt the ongoings here in the service. Psalm 139. I want you to look at Psalm 139, starting with verse number 11. Stand with me, if you will, for a moment. Psalm 139, verse number 11. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. It says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, that the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let me pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. In the next few minutes, might we accomplish something supernatural. Holy Spirit of God, do for us what we can't do for ourselves. But then let us give our attention. That's something we can do. Help each of us to be a contributor to the success of the sermon by submitting ourselves to you, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I truly believe that America is suffering in regard to our dignity. And I think a part of that is because, of course, the country would behave like the citizens of that country. I think America has a difficult time, maybe with her reputation, maybe with her dignity, maybe with American pride like we once had. Those of you that have been around a while, I'm sure you recognize it. America's pride is not what it used to be. The American people are not, they're not as proud of their country as what I wish that they were. But I know this. I believe what happens is if the individual does not feel good about their country, obviously then the country's not going to feel good about itself. My sermon this morning is entitled, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. The Bible says here in Psalm 139, verse number 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then God led the psalmist to say, marvelous are thy works. Well, what was he talking about? He said, I'm going to fear God because I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Then he even says, and marvelous are thy works. You know, the value of man in our country, I think, is at an all-time low. You say, why? Well, I'm not sure why, but our behavior certainly brings some of that on. If you've ever been around or been a part of an experience that had to do with abortion, I'm sorry for you, but let me tell you something. When the American people will put to death little ones, our value of man has deteriorated. The number of people that consider, and the number of people that commit suicide in our country, it's tragic. It's just tragic. Life ought to mean more to us than that. You take, for instance, I think it's a sad thing. You look at the promiscuity in our country, and you look at the pornography and things like that. What's happening? The degrading of the human race. The degrading through abortion. The degrading through the thought of one taking their own life. The degrading of how women are treated. The murder rate is sad. What's happened to our respect for the human race? And I realize we're to respect God ultimately, but you know, there ought to be some dignity between you and I. We're fellow human beings. We live on the same globe. And it's sad. It's sad. Human dignity is anemic at best in our country. Now, I want to tell you something. I think there's a difference between one's self-worth and self-esteem. I prefer the term self-worth. I think we're of value, but we have to be careful esteeming ourselves. Of course, that has its roots in pride. Listen, this is self-esteem to me. Philippians 2:3 says, "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." God is saying that there is to be some esteem about the human race. The psalmist said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are thy works." A little boy put it this way. Well, God made me, and God don't make no junk. But you know what? It'd be good for America to realize God don't make no junk. We need to realize that about the human race. Now, if I go around lifting myself up all the time, that's pride, and that's a sinful thing. Listen, self-worth. What does it mean to have self-worth? Matthew 10:31 says, "Fear ye not therefore, for ye are all more valuable than many sparrows." That's a good thing. God is saying here, I'm more valuable than a bird, and I am glad. I'm glad of that. But you know, we almost treat the human race like they're birds. They're disposable. You can kill them. You can do what you want with them. And I don't believe that. God created the human race for a purpose. I'm not asking today, as a result of this sermon, that we become proud of ourselves. Because the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But I am asking that we, as Christians, live a victorious, positive, productive life, and that we be thankful for the life that God's given us, and that we learn as human beings to treat human beings with some dignity and realize God created them. And God don't create no junk. Folks, life, it's not all about us, it's all about Him, but He decided to include us in it. And here's my thought. I believe that America is just, she does not feel good about herself. And I think the reason America doesn't feel as good about herself as she used to is because the American people don't feel good about themselves. And I'm not talking about pride now. I'm talking about a way to live that helps you to keep your chin up. I think America ought to be ashamed of herself at certain times. But what could we do about that? Well, look, if I want to be proud of my country again, maybe I ought to live my life in such a way that it's something and I'm not talking about a sinful pride, but maybe I ought to live my life in such a way that I could hold my chin up. I don't have to be ashamed of everything I do all the time that I do it. If I could, I just want to talk to you about that thought that we've seen there in Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to help you. I think there are people in this room, you don't feel so good about yourself. I don't want you to be sinfully prideful about yourself, but let me see if I can help you for a little while. First of all, I want you to realize something. Everybody here, every one of you, I want you to realize you are special made by God. You say, well, I'm part of the human race. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you are special made by God. You are a designer model. He said in Psalm 139, verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." You know, when God created you, God had an appetite for somebody just like you. You're not an accident. God didn't just create you and throw you out and say, well, we'll see how she comes out, we'll see how he comes out. And I'm talking about your personal appearance. God wanted someone that looked just like you. Your looks filled a need that he had. People are a little bit like snowflakes. You know, they say no two snowflakes are the same. Now, some people are just flakes, but there's no two snowflakes that are exactly alike. And why? Because God said, the great God of the universe said, I have an appetite, and in my appetite, I have a desire for someone that looks like Chris, or looks like Alvin, or that looks like Matt. He said, I have an appetite for someone that looks that way. Hey, what do you call 10 blondes in a walk-in freezer? Frosted Flakes. Come on, you don't pay much, you don't get much. Folks, you don't get it. You don't understand. You don't laugh when you think it's funny. You laugh when you think that I think it's funny. Let me tell that joke again. What do you call 10 blondes in a walk-in freezer? Frosted Flakes. Now you're getting it. Next time, don't force me to prompt you to do the right thing. Folks, diamonds. When a diamond is cut, a jeweler uses a different cut on every diamond. No two diamonds are alike. Then they have a certificate of authenticity. And I want you to all understand, when you are created, you are more valuable than a diamond. And there is a certificate of authenticity in heaven. God in his heart had a desire for someone just like you. You know what's happened? I'm not to look like you and you're not to look like me. We are different and there are differences about us and those differences are not bad. But you know what happens is we all watch Hollywood and they try to tell us what we're all supposed to look like. So we all change to try to look like them. Can I explain to you? Some of us, if we're not careful, will erase the very identity that was the attraction that God had when he created us. And America, look, I don't want to be like every other country in the world. I'm not supposed to be. America's not supposed to be like all the other countries. We're different. We're a cut above. And I think we're losing a bit of our personality. But as an individual, folks, God, what he has an appetite just for someone like you. And until you stop and realize God created you, and God don't create no junk. Some of you, you're going to go on and feel bad about yourself. There are people in here, you don't like your nose. You say, I don't like my nose. Well, God created that nose. You say it's too big, it's too long, it's too short. It's got a button on the end of it. You can say whatever you want, but I've got news for you. Do you know who created your nose? God. And God don't create no junk. Now, I'm glad I've got the one that I have, and I'm glad you have the one that you have. And for obvious reasons. But you know what we do, folks? We let Hollywood say to us, you ought to look like this. Fooey on that. God created us. We're designer models. We're like snowflakes. We're like a rare cut diamond. You're unique, and God loves you, and you're special to him. We're designer models. Let me tell you this. I think it would be wise for us to stop comparing ourselves to each other. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves, and they're not wise. I shouldn't want your nose. You shouldn't want my nose. Stop letting Hollywood tell you how you're supposed to look. That's not how it's supposed to be. Hey, and you know what? Can I tell you my philosophy? They take these models and they put them up in front of us, the advertisers in Hollywood. They put those models up in front of us and they say, that right there, that's perfection. Now, let me tell you something. If I were God, I would make a mass of the things I like the most. Have you noticed there's more of us common people than there are those perfect people that they want to advertise? I'd guess God has a bigger appetite for us common Joes than those things that are esteemed by this world. But folks, if we compare ourselves to each other, we're going to make ourselves miserable. realize you are created by God. You are a designer model. And become satisfied with what you are. And you'll hear, I'll talk about improvement in just a moment, but folks, dissatisfaction is not in what you have. Dissatisfaction is actually found in what you are. Did you know, you take, for instance, what you have. If you wanted to be satisfied with what you have, you could be. That's your choice. So some people say, well, I'd be satisfied if I had this or if I had that. You can choose to be satisfied anytime you want to be. Satisfaction is not in your belongings, it's in your character. There are people that if they had what you have, they would be satisfied. They would be thrilled. They would be above satisfied. But we as a human race have a hard time finding satisfaction, and it's not found in things, it's found in yourself. It's found in realizing what you have, God gave you. But I say, if we are going to increase our belief in our country, if you will, if we're going to increase our national pride, one thing we're going to have to do, we're going to have to help the American people. And the best way to help the American people is through what the Bible teaches. First of all, God created us uniquely different, and we need to accept that. Secondly, we need to stop comparing ourselves among ourselves. Don't measure yourself to other human beings. You say, well, who am I going to measure myself to? Jesus. You measure yourself to Jesus. And then there's no limit on how you could improve yourself. But I'm not to compare myself to you, and you're not to compare yourself to me. We have all levels of Christianity in here. I'm glad that there are levels that can be an example to us, but let me tell you something. Our ultimate example is Jesus Christ. And every one of us need to be careful that we don't spend all of our time comparing ourselves to everybody else. We are a designer model. God created us. And we ought to just say, God don't make no junk. Number three, if you want to feel better about yourself, let me tell you what you do. Obey the Bible. Obey the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Folks, I just have to tell you, America used to let this book guide America. And America felt better about America when she did. What's happening? They want the Ten Commandments taken out of our public facilities. They want the Bible out of our school. And just check on the children that go to the schools today and what a mess they've become. Well, why are we having the messes that we're having? Well, if you'll obey the Scripture, there's a certain dignity then that man is allowed through their obedience to the Scripture. When you don't obey God, and I'm not trying to make anybody in here feel bad, but I got to tell you something. When you don't obey God, you're not supposed to feel good about that. We're not supposed, you say, well, that makes sense. Well, it does, because when children disobey mom and dad, they're not supposed to say, ha ha, I disobeyed mom and dad. I feel good about that. No, they ought not feel good about disobeying mom and dad. Well, wait a minute. We have a Heavenly Father. If America would like to get some of the proper American dignity back, she better realize she was a unique country. She better realize she shouldn't try to be like all the other countries. She better realize she better get her respect back for God and the book of God and the God of the book and start obeying God again. Look, America used to have a pride. You look at some of the soldiers that went to battle back in World War I and World War II and carried their Bibles and New Testaments into battle with them. And they were fighting for a freedom that was not just a freedom from other countries. It was a freedom that people could worship and love God. And I'm just telling you, folks, we've left our obedience to God in America. No wonder we're struggling with our personality. No wonder we're struggling still being called one nation under God. And we want to take God out of the pledge. And we want to take God out of our national anthem. And we're going to throw God out of our public school. And we're going to throw God out of our lives. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. No wonder America's a mess. America ought to feel bad to a degree. She's not doing what the Bible says to do. When you don't obey God, you're not going to feel good about yourself. Get baptized if you've never been saved, you need to get saved. You'll feel better about yourself. If you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you ought to get baptized. You say, why? You'll feel better about yourself. Why? It's an obedience thing. It's what the Scripture says to do. The Bible says you ought to be in church. You'll feel better about, hey, everybody here. And I don't know who goes to church and who does not. I know who our folks are. Guests, you may be in church every single service at your church. I don't know. But I will tell you something. Coming to church will make you feel better. Even if the preacher throws a bit of a fit, the obedience of coming to church is a self-satisfying, it's a gratifying thing, and you'll feel better about yourself because you did something you know is a good thing to do. It's obedience. Pray. You'll feel better if you pray, because that's something God tells us to do. Did you know honesty will make you feel better about yourself? People that lie all the time do not feel good about themselves. People that tell the truth, even if it costs them something, there's a dignity in doing what the Bible says. America's lost her dignity. And why? Because we have lost our obedience to the Scripture. We've lost our identity. We're wanting to be like everybody else and let everybody else pattern or let everybody else mold us when we needed God to mold us and we need our identity back and we need to obey the Bible again. See, I'd like to feel a little better about myself. I'll tell you what. Don't only obey the Bible, serve Him. Serve Him. Serve God diligently. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." You know, folks, I got to tell you something. One of the most rewarding and uplifting things a person can do for themselves is serve God, do things for people, be service-minded for the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm going to promise you, you feel better about life when you do good things. That's all there is to it. There are people in here, you understand the term soul winning. That's where we talk to people about heaven. And I'm going to make you a promise. If you're a Christian and you'll take the time to talk to somebody about heaven and how to get to heaven, you'll feel better about yourself. Why? Well, if you know how to get to heaven and you never tell anybody about how to get to heaven, well, that's a pretty sad commentary of your Christianity. I'll guarantee you, Brother Nofsinger and Brother Hollinger were out and they were soul winning yesterday and they got to lead someone to Jesus. Someone said, "I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven when I die." And that someone prayed and asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them. I'll promise you, those guys felt good about doing what they did. And I'm not talking about a pride. I'm not talking about an arrogance. I'm talking about the reward that obedience brings. Look. Serving, hey, it's just like, this ought to be easy for anybody here to understand. You go to work, you work hard, there's something that makes you feel good about having worked hard and earning your keep and doing your part. Well, in Christianity, it's the same thing. When you do your part, when you are serving and you're involved, it just makes a difference in how you're going to feel about yourselves. God, hey, you were created to serve Him. And you're not going to feel totally good about yourself until you're doing some of that. You've got to be involved and help God to accomplish the purpose for which you were created. So again, I say, I don't think America feels good about herself. And I don't think America feels good about herself because the American people don't feel good about themselves. So what do they need to do? They need to realize God created them and He made them unique and special. And He said, don't go around comparing yourselves to everybody else. Compare yourself to Jesus. And if you really want to feel good about you, I created you, then you obey my book and you'll feel better about yourself. And not only obey the book, but make sure that you serve me and you fulfill the purpose for which you were created. Now, I don't think that's all that we can do. I think you and I can help America when you and I are in proper order where we have a proper relationship with God. So, hey, look, if you and I can hold our chin up being a part of America, that will help America's overall dignity to be increased. But let me tell you something else that will help you feel better about yourself. I'll say it this way. Keep yourself up. God created you and God gave you a life. Now, take care of that life. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're His representative. I'm not my own. I'm not trying to esteem myself. I do want to do all I can. God gave me me, and He said, you're of value. Now hold that value. Don't let you deteriorate." He gives us ways of feeling good about what He's given us. What are you talking about? Keep yourself up. Wouldn't hurt you to comb your hair. You're not going to feel good about your, well, Brother Mike, the bald guy down here. Okay, comb your hair or polish your globe, whichever it is. Now, comb your hair and keep it cut decent. Groom your beard. Brush your teeth once a week, whether they need it or not. Watch your breath. And by the way, if you can see your breath, that's not a good sign. When I'm talking about, try to make sure that your breath is decent and iron your clothes and keep your clothes clean. Try to coordinate your clothes. Know what goes with what. You see, we ought to care. We are ambassadors for Christ. And though it's a simple thing, I am a representative of Jesus Christ. I'd like to get some dignity back in my country. Well, I'm going to need to get some dignity back to the people in the country. And to get that, then I'm going to have to work on me. I want to make sure that I'm a good representative of my country and the God of my country. So I'm going to try to take care of my body. There are some things about your health you have no control over. Let's face it. There are things that come upon us that come in life and we have no control over that part of our health. But you know what? There are some things that we do have control over. And what you better do is you better maintain that body that is the designer model that God gave you, and you keep your body as healthy as you can keep your body. Now, the things that you have no control over, boy, we'll do what we can. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage each other, and we'll try to keep each other going. But I'll tell you, I think that God gave us a body, and He said, now, you take care of that because you're my ambassador. Comb your hair, brush your teeth, smile every once in a while, let people see you belong to me. And you know what? People that do that feel better about themselves. They feel better about themselves. I'm a firm believer. And when I talk about national pride, I don't want to get strung up over that word pride. I'm not talking about a sinful pride. I'm talking about a respect that we have because this is our country and it's one nation under God. And it's ours and God gave it to us. And when I talk about you living your life so you can be proud of it, I'm not talking about an arrogance. I'm talking about you're obedient and you do right. And because of that, you can have some dignity about yourself. And you're not perfect, but you're doing the best that you can. And therefore, you're improving you. And when you improve you, you improve my country. And I'd like to see our country. I would like to see our country get turned around and start thinking right and behaving right. But it's not going to unless its people do. And the truth is, if the Christians don't do it, the rest of the world's not going to do it. So keep yourself up. I have to tell you this, and I hope you all do realize this. We with all this, we are very humanistic in America. We are just very humanistic. We have what everybody else thinks of us at the top of the list, and what God thinks of us might show up somewhere down the list. Truth of the matter is, what God thinks of us is more important than what other people think of us. We're humanistic. We tend to say, well, what does God think? And we'll follow, we'll want to follow what the human race thinks we ought to do, when what we ought to do is follow what God thinks the human race ought to do. But listen, did you know that not everybody is as conscious of you as you are? Everybody's not as conscious of you as you are. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low. You know what? Let me warn you about your pride. Your pride will lift you up and then slam you down at some point. Your pride will get you into trouble. Some of us, we think too highly of ourselves, and the truth is, we think too much of ourselves. If you would like to feel better about yourself, stop thinking about yourself so much. I've watched this happen time and time again. I can stand up and preach a sermon on a given topic. Someone sitting in the congregation can sit there and think, this entire sermon, he is preaching it for me. He's after me. And I'm thinking, I never thought of you one time while I was preparing this sermon. Why are you so interested in you? Why is it that you are the most important person on the face of this earth to you? I mean, you wake up every morning and you do this. I'm glad to see you. You look at yourself in the mirror and you go, oh, the human race is caught up on themselves. Listen, folks, one of the best things that the human race could do is get their eyes off of themselves for a little while. You say, I want to feel better about myself. So I'm going to spend all this money and buy all these elaborate clothes, and I'm going to get a facelift, and I'm going to get some extra parts added onto my body and have some parts eliminated from my body, and I'm going to pay out the big bucks to make me smell good where I'd normally smell bad, and I am just going to give myself this fantastic new reputation. And look, you want to really feel good about yourself, stop worrying about yourself and go help somebody else. One of the best things you could do for yourself is get your eyes off yourself and go find somebody else that has needs and help them. You all know what it feels like when you help somebody. You walk away saying, that feels good. I help them. But the devil's tricky. The devil says, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Take care of yourself. Do something for you. You, 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 you. And you're just looking at yourself and you're all freaked out. You're thinking, I'm looking at myself. And so is she. And so is he. And everybody's looking at me. And the preacher's preaching to me. Oh, 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 stop. No wonder you're freaked out. Why don't you decide you're just going to help people? Get your eyes off yourself a little bit. And by the way, so you know, if don't be so vain that you think I would preach an entire sermon for you. Why would I waste an hour of my time and yours to do that? Doesn't work that way. But America, I don't think she feels good about herself. There are military men here that understand this. I still believe America can help the world. I still believe that. I'm so proud of our country, and I don't want people in our country to go without while people in other countries are getting our services, but I will tell you this, I still thank God that there are times when countries that are starving know that America will give them some food. And by the way, you say there's a bad dictator there, I realize that, but the little boy that's 2 years of age that's starving to death does not deserve to be treated that way, and thank God American people have the good sense to say, we're going to feed that boy. We are going to feed that little boy. And there are men and women in this room that one of the things that helped keep you going, and even when we disagreed maybe with some of the politics of war, we do realize there are little boys and girls and women and weak people out there that are being abused and hurt, and we're just going to stand up and try to do what we can. But America needs to be careful. Because as America looks at America, if she's not careful, she's going to self-destruct. America needs to realize there are other countries out there, and I think other countries. You all realize how all the countries in the world used to look to us? That's anemic anymore, isn't it? We've lost it. Why? Because the American people have lost it, and we've got to get our eyes back on the right things. May I say this? I've just got a couple points and we're on our way, but let me tell you something. I think if you and I would learn to give praise, we'd receive praise. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, if you would learn to praise properly, you'd feel better about yourself. You say, what? If I want to feel better about myself, oh, why would I want to go around praising other people? Because the Bible says the right way to do it is, I praise you and then I'll reap what I have sown. Now that doesn't mean I ought to praise you because I'm starved to be praised. I don't praise Mrs. Owens so that she'll praise me back. I'm to praise her out of a pure heart. But I'll tell you what God says. God said, if I praise, praise will come back my way. That is the law of sowing and reaping. And if you'd like to feel good about yourself, don't praise yourself. If you'd like to feel good about yourself, find the good things that other people are doing and praise them for doing good. Notice what your wife does right and praise that. Notice what your children do right and praise those things. Notice what your husband does right and praise those things. Notice what the fellow workers at work do right and praise those things. Notice what the other people of the church are doing right and praise those things. And I'm going to promise you, first of all, there is a dignity and an honor by you praising. It feels good to praise someone, but wait a minute. You're going to feel better about yourself in the long run because you are going to reap what you have sown, and someone's going to praise you, and all of us know that's good. If someone works hard, praise it. If someone works on their grooming, praise it. Honesty, kindness, patience, humility. You will feel better about yourself because of the process of sowing and reaping by learning to praise. Some of you, you don't feel good about yourself because you're a negative person. First thing you always see is the negative. You say, but it's there. Uh-huh. We all knew it was there. Some of us choose to look at some positives first. It's just emotional control. That's all it is. You would feel better if you were not so negative. So praise brings out the best in people. And I believe this. I think that we have got to start in America to rebuilding the American people. You say, how are you going to do it? Well, I'd do it scripturally. I'd get them realizing it's God that created them and God made them special, and that God doesn't want, God didn't create everybody to look the same, and we're not cookie cutter people. We have our, we have our differences, and I think if we would just start obeying the Bible again, I think that if we would work diligently to serve Him and the purpose for which we were created, we'd take care of what God gave us, and we would realize not everybody is as conscious of us as we are of ourselves, and get our eyes off of ourselves. I think it wouldn't be long if we just start praising good, we'd get somewhere. The last thing I want to tell you is this. If you want to feel good about yourself, make sure you finish what you start. Just finish what you start. People with all sorts of unfinished projects always feel like they're behind. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. God's telling us, folks, if you have unfinished projects, they'll haunt you. They'll haunt you. See, I want to feel better about myself than accomplish things. You finish up what you start. What kind of things? Well, I'm talking about you started to clean the room, finish cleaning the room. You started the painting. Some of you need to finish the painting, unless it's a filthy painting. Finish. You started your marriage. Finish your marriage. You started so many things we start in America and we don't finish them. Some of our most embarrassing wars were ones that we didn't finish. There are times I think we should have stormed right on through. There are people who say, oh, stop. I just storm right on through. Let's clean this mess up while we've got a chance. But what I'm telling you is we lose our dignity because there are so many scriptural guidelines that God's given us that we've left. I think this. I think that Christians, born-again people, there's a dignity that we have, and that dignity, it's not a pride. I have to tell you, I'm glad I'm a Christian. And don't misunderstand this. I'm proud to be a Christian. And I'm not trying to be arrogant. I am what He created me to be. I'm doing all I can to live the way He told me to live. Well, I'm not ashamed of that. Can I tell you something? If you're here today and you've never been saved, I can help you feel better about yourself. You say, how? God created you. His Son died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. The human race does not feel good about themselves if they have ignored what God's done for them. So I believe one of the best things someone could do, if you're not saved, is get saved. You'll feel better about your life if you know you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Why? He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. Take advantage of His kindness. You'll feel better about yourself. I've not done a good job of explaining to you what I wanted to say today, but let me tell you this. I don't think our country feels about itself like she used to. I think our national pride is weak. And I think a lot of that is because America's people are not what they used to be. You say, why? I think some of the things I've talked to you about, you know, it used to be not every man wanted to be like every other man. Most men said, oh, I'm my own man. We didn't spend all of our time trying to be just like the person next door. We've just lost it somehow. We've lost our obedience to the Scripture. We've lost the importance of doing good for other people, and now it's all about us. So we don't feel good about ourselves. So our country doesn't feel good about itself. And the way we'll get some of that back is that we do what God said to do that reignites a dignity among the human Christianity, if you will. If you're here and you've never been saved, I want to recommend that you trust Jesus as your Savior. So here's a question I'll ask about that. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know? If you don't know, we could take a Bible in a matter of a couple minutes, show you how to be born again. You could leave this building knowing that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. And I'll tell you something. If I were on my way to hell, I'd not feel good about that. But if someone told me how I could be on my way to heaven, I think I'd feel good about that. I'd feel better about my life, better about my future. And I hope if you're not saved, you'd trust Christ today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're coming toward the end of the service. My first question is this. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody here that would say, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. The truth is, I probably wouldn't. But I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know for a fact that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? I don't know for a fact. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I don't know for a fact I'm saved. God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I don't know it. I don't know if it's something to happen to me today that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. That bothers me some. You can put those hands down. If you're here and you've never been saved, listen, it's simple. You just know that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for sinners. There's a penalty for being a sinner. We, as that penalty, we don't get to go to heaven. There's another place that God prepared for the devil, and that's where people go if they don't get saved. And all you have to do is tell Jesus, you ask him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, and he can save you. Oh, but listen, there were a few hands raised where they said, I don't know that I'm saved. All right, let me ask this question. Who here would say, I'm saved. I know for a fact I am. If I died today, I know I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, I know that. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I'm sure of it. You may put those hands down. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand, I would never embarrass you, not trying to be unkind to you. But let me tell you something. This church loves you and God loves you. If you don't know that you're saved, I wish you'd get saved. In a second, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play and we'll all stand. When that happens, some of you ought to come and pray. Some of you ought to come and say, I'd like to help America get her dignity back. And that means I need to get me back on track. I need to obey the Bible. I need to do the right thing. Maybe you ought to come and pray. If you're not saved, if you come, we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But if you need the altar, you'll be welcome to it. There might be somebody in here that just wants to come and pray. Maybe you have loved ones that are in the military right now, and you just want to come down here and say a prayer and say, God, keep them safe while they're serving. I don't know. Maybe you just want to come and pray for America for a moment. God knows she needs all the prayer she can get. We'll never get America's dignity back until the American people get their dignity back. And the truth of the matter is, the American people won't get their dignity back till they get Christ back in their dignity. It's got to be done God's way. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment of prayer? If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Maybe you just need to come and say, you know, Lord, I see it. I'd feel better about myself if I'd be in church like I ought to be. If I would do what I ought to do. But the altar's open. The piano will continue to play. And there are people coming. People that are, and there's some seats right down front here, David. Thank you. I've got them. And the piano will continue to play. If you need the altar, you feel free to come. Okay, thank you, Mrs. Young. Folks, go ahead and have a seat.